Okay. Well, let's go ahead and pray. We're going to open in prayer. We're going to ask for God's blessing upon our time together. We're going to continue our study on the book of Revelation. We're getting now towards the tail end of our study. It's always an interesting study because the book of Revelation has so much to say, especially concerning the last days. And so let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord, through our service today. I ask that, Lord, you would be glorified here in our midst. I pray that, Lord, you would have your way, truly speaking to our hearts in a way that only you can. I pray that you'd give us understanding, give us revelation concerning the book of Revelation, as well as, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts throughout the whole service today. Be with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, as was stated earlier, we've been going through a study on the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation being the book that was written by the Apostle John. While he was on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus gave him this revelation. Now, initially, of course, this was a revelation that God the Father gave to his Son, Jesus Christ. And this revelation would concern, as our key verse stated, Revelation 1 verse 19, that John was to write the things that he had seen, the things which are, and the things which would happen hereafter, would come hereafter. He saw Christ glorified, that's what he saw. The things which are were the then seven churches that were in Asia Minor. And these were seven churches that were real churches, literal churches in Asia Minor, that Jesus was speaking to. And of course, at the close of every one of those letters, it says, he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And so God had a message to the seven churches, and that message to those then seven churches were messages to us today. Because the church is, again, still in existence. God is moving through this world and he is affecting the world through the church. We are the ones that are bearers of God's light. We are the ones that proclaim the gospel. The church are God's hands extended. The church is God's voice in the world today. The church is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're the reflectors of his light. And we're still here. And so those messages to the seven churches is concerning those things which are. But there is coming a day when the church age will end. And how God is dealing with the world, we call it the dispensation of grace, will close. The times of the Gentiles will cease, and then God will begin a unique work during the tribulation period. And so, he said again, write the things which you have seen, Christ glorified. The things which are the seven churches, and then the things which would be hereafter. Or in other words, the events that would transpire after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is a very important event which we believe could happen at any moment. No one knows the day when the rapture is going to occur. Some portions of scripture say it's going to happen like a thief in the night. Unexpectedly, when no one expects, that will be the time in which the rapture occurs. Another scripture says it's like the twinkling of an eye. Instantaneous. And so the rapture of the church is a part that we just don't know. It's going to happen, but we don't know when. There's unexpectancy. We don't know how. We don't know when. We don't know how quickly. But it's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. And so the rapture of the church is one of the next key events that is to happen. And then will come the events that will happen hereafter. The tribulation period. 7 years in which God is going to deal with the earth in a very unique way. When he was dealing with the seven churches, there was a portion where he said that he would spare his own from a time of trial that's going to affect the whole earth. That means that we can look forward to God sparing us. The church has been given a promise that we will not taste His wrath to come. To be honest with you, Jesus bore the wrath of God on our behalf. The rest of the world, though, that have not been born again, the Bible says the wrath of God abides upon them. See, the wrath of God doesn't abide upon you as a child of God. His wrath has been fulfilled in Christ for us. But for those that have not Christ, those that have not received Christ, the wrath of God abides upon them. And so the events of the 7-year tribulation are going to be very, very dramatic. They're going to be hard, awful events. It began with the four horsemen, and then it's going to end with, ultimately, the 7 vials of God's wrath. Now, last time we talked about these things. Remember, chapter 12 dealt with the characters of the period. Chapter 13 dealt with the rulers of the period. And chapter 14 dealt with the ultimate triumph of Christ and the judgment of the wicked. It was talking about the grapes of His divine wrath. And that's where we stopped last time. Today, we're going to begin with chapters 15 and 16 in your Bible, which bring out, or of the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and 16 of the book of Revelation, which begins to bring out the vials of God's wrath. Now remember, the number 7 is repeated over and over again in the book of Revelation. There are 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpet blasts. Now there are 7 seal or 7 vials of wrath, bowls of wrath. There were 7 characters or 7 personalities. And so the number 7 is repeated over and over again. And towards the close, there will be 7 new things. And so we're going to head into now the 7 bowls or the 7 bowls of God's wrath being poured out. This picture kind of shows 7 angels coming with these bowls. And of course, that's a picturesque way of them showing how they're bringing these bowls to ultimately pour out upon the earth. And with every one of these judgments, as this bowl is poured out on the earth, there is horrific, horrific judgment on the earth. It's ultimately upon those that have chosen to forsake God. Even in the midst of all these things that will be transpiring on the earth, there will be hardened hearts that will not repent of their sins. Even after, like last week, we talked about angels proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the truth of God's word, there will still be those that will not repent of their sins. It shows how hard a man's heart, a woman's heart can get to where they will say, I don't want anything to do with God. Of course, those that will receive the mark of the beast, that whatever it is, a brand on the right hand, the forehead, if it's inserted chips, whatever it is going to be, they will not be able to repent. They will pretty much seal their fate and doom themselves to an eternal hell, those that receive the mark of the beast. And so they will not be able to repent. How or why, we don't know. But the scripture, in essence, damns anyone that receives the mark of the beast. And so that means if the church was there, if the church was to go through the tribulation, no Christian is to get the mark of the beast. Amen?
Amen.
That's if we're here. Obviously, the church, we believe, will be raptured before the tribulation, but those that get saved during the tribulation are going to know, don't get that mark, lest, of course, their soul is damned. And so, I don't know, do you want to help with the Spanish again, Brother Jaime?
Yeah.
Brother Jaime is going to help with the Spanish again, because we have some that don't understand English too well. And so we're going to look at the vials of His wrath, the 7 bowls of God's wrath. And that begins in chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the book of Revelation introduces these angels that are going to pour out these vials of His wrath. Some call it the last plagues. And so I'm going to read chapter 15. And chapter 15 is going to help us to see as these angels are preparing to pour out these things. Revelation chapter 15 verse 1 says this, I saw another great and marvelous sign in heaven. This was a wonder. It was amazing to see. He says, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. And after this I looked, and now the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The seven angels came out of the temple with the seven plagues. They were clothed in pure white, bright linen, having their chests wrapped with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke, with the glory of God and from his power. No one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And so in this picture, you kind of see this sea where it says that I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. So it kind of had a reddish appearance, but a sea of glass. And the saints were standing aside viewing all of this. And they're given these things from the temple of God, and they're coming out ready to pour out these bowls of God's wrath. It says the wrath of God would be complete in this.
Dice la palabra que la ira de Dios se cumplirá en estos días.
The wrath of God. Whew, it's going to be awful. La ira de Dios. Now, in chapter 16,
en capítulo 16,
this is where we begin to see the seven bowls of God's wrath.
Aquí es donde se empieza a mostrar los siete ollas de la ira de Dios.
Let's read this together again. It's chapter 16, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 2. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go, pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. The first went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and foul and grievous sores came on the men who had the mark of the beast and on those who worshipped his image. This is the first vial, okay? So with the first one, let me get these out here. There comes these grievous, awful sores.
La primera cacerola tiene esta ira de Dios que son muchas llagas de la carne.
We don't know for sure what these sores will be.
No sabemos qué van a ser las llagas.
But some say they're going to be like ulcers.
Creo que muchos van a ser como ulceras.
Boils.
Como quemaduras.
Painful sores.
Que duelen, que al tocarse, al verse.
And it's going to come upon those that worship the beast and have taken his mark.
Y que eso lo van a recibir de aquellos que adoran al diablo y agarran el sello del diablo.
And so something to think about here is this.
Lo que tenemos que pensar en esto es,
those that believe in Christ during the tribulation will not be tasting this wrath of God.
Estos que creen en Dios durante la tribulación no van a tomar de estas iras de Dios.
They're not going to get these sores because they're not worshiping the beast.
No van a agarrar nada de esto porque ellos no están adorando al diablo.
They're worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've not taken his mark on his hand or on their forehead. They're going to worship Jesus. And he's going to spare them. Praise the Lord. And so the Christian will not have to worry about these sores. The second plague is found in verse 2 or 3. And it says, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died.
La segunda plaga de este ira de Dios viene en el capítulo, en el versículo 3, y habla sobre la copa del mar convertióse, se convirtió en sangre.
When it says this blood, it says it's going to be like the blood of a dead man.
Cuando habla de esta sangre, habla como de la sangre de un hombre muerto.
When you think about the blood of a dead man,
cuando piensa de la sangre de un hombre muerto,
this blood isn't flowing.
Esta sangre no está fluyendo.
It's thickened. It's getting hardened.
Está cuajada, está dura.
And this is a gross kind of blood to think about.
Es un tipo de sangre.
And so when it describes this plague,
esta plaga,
there is no way for anything living to last in this sea.
No hay nada que vive con vida durante este.
Can you imagine the water that's thickened like this kind of blood? I mean, it's blood of a dead man.
¿Se puede imaginar todo el agua que se convierte en sí?
This is going to affect a lot of people.
Esto va a afectar a mucha gente.
And it's going to be stronger than what happened during the second trumpet.
Y eso va a ser más fuerte de lo que pasó en la segunda trompeta.
The second trumpet says
that, trompeta dice,
that the water would be turned to blood.
Que la agua se va a convertir en sangre.
It would affect the area where this particular thing happened.
Va a afectar el área donde esto va a pasar.
But this one is going to make the water turn into very thickened, no way, or a non-livable water, blood.
Pero esta placa en particular va a convertir el agua en un tipo de sangre que nada va a poder sobrevivir.
And so it's going to be awful for the people living on the earth during that time.
So va a ser muy feo para la gente que vive en este mundo en esos tiempos.
The third plague,
la tercera plaga,
is similar.
Es similar.
Because it turns the rivers now into blood.
Porque ahora convierte los ríos en sangre.
It says in verse 4.
El versículo 4.
And we're going to read through verse 7.
4 a 7.
And it says, the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard another from the altar saying, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And so in one sense, during the tribulation period, many of those that are not giving their hearts to God,
durante la tribulación, muchos de aquellos que no le dan su corazón a Dios,
they will be, in one sense, killing and murdering Christians.
En una palabra, ellos van a convertirse y van a matar a cristianos.
Shedding their blood.
Derramando su sangre.
And now, this judgment is giving those that have shed blood
y ahora estos van a darle esos justos que están derramando sangre.
Now they will be drinking blood.
Ahora van a estar tomando sangre.
These are the unrighteous.
Estos son los no justos.
They are the ones that should repent but aren't.
Estos son los que se tienen que arrepentir pero no van a hacerlo.
And so these judgments are the wrath of God being poured out on the unrighteous.
So estos juicios de Dios son los que se van a derramar sobre estas personas.
Now,
ahora,
the fourth vial,
el cuarto,
introduces another horrible plague.
Introduce otra muy, muy horrible plaga.
You'll see why here in a moment.
Usted va a ver por qué.
It brings out what is called scorching heat.
Saca lo que se dice una quemazón muy fuerte.
It says in verses 8 and 9,
en el versículo 8 y 9,
it says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. You can read that one in Spanish.
En el versículo 8 dice, el cuatro ángel derramó su copa sobre el sol, el cual se le permitió quemar con fuego a la gente. Todos sufrieron terribles quemaduras, pero ni así se arrepintieron. En vez de darle gloria a Dios, que tiene el poder sobre estas plagas, maldijeron su nombre.
I got home last night.
Anoche llegué a la casa.
And after we were there in the park for most of the day,
y después de que estuvimos ahí en el parque todo el día,
we had a little fundraiser going on there.
Tuvimos una para juntar dinero.
And when I got home,
cuando llegué a la casa,
I went inside to the bathroom and looked in the mirror.
Llegué y entré al baño y vi en el espejo.
And I was red, sunburnt.
Estaba rojo, rojo.
And I stayed wondering, when was I in the sun?
Me quedé pensando, ¿cuándo estuve en el sol?
I stayed under the canopy for a while, under the tent, covering.
Bajo la sombra, todo el día.
I didn't remember when I was in the sun.
No me acuerdo cuando estaba en el sol.
And then I remembered.
Y no me acordé.
I went to go look at them burn out the tires.
Fui a ver la quemadura, la... Están quemando las llantas.
And I was standing in the sun.
Me estaba parando en el sol.
I was recording the tires burning with smoke.
Estaba grabando lo que estaba pasando.
And while I was standing there,
estaba ahí parado,
the sun was burning me.
El sol me estaba quemando.
It was hot.
Estaba caliente.
And this is hot now.
Y esto es caliente ahorita.
Were you guys outside yesterday? It was hot.
Estaba fuera ayer. Estaba caliente.
I got burnt.
Me quemé.
But can you imagine what it's going to be like?
¿Se puede imaginar cómo va a ser?
When this plague occurs,
cuando esta plaga pase,
this is going to be scorching heat.
Este va a ser un tipo de quemadura.
It's not just a sunburn. But it's probably going to be so bad it'll bring blisters and it'll affect the body. It probably won't affect humans only. Can you imagine what it's going to do to the land? Anything that's trying to grow will probably be burnt up.
Cualquier cosa que pueda, que quiera crecer, se va a quemar.
And so this plague is not only going to affect the people,
so esta plaga no más va a afectar a la gente.
It's going to affect a whole lot more.
Va a afectar mucho, mucho más.
Awful.
Feo.
I remember in Pennsylvania,
yo me acuerdo allá en Pennsylvania,
1 year we had a drought.
Una vez tuvimos un sequío.
And over there, it's very green.
Y allá está muy verde todo.
You don't even have to try to grow grass.
Allá no tienes que ni tratar de eso.
You don't need sprinklers. It just grows. Because there's plenty of rain. Sunshine. Rain. The corn grows. No ditches. No sprinkler systems. It just grows. But 1 year there was a drought.
Pero un año hubo sequeo.
And there was no rain.
Y no hubo lluvia.
A lot of sun.
Mucho sol.
Too much sun.
Mucho.
And the grass turned yellow.
Y el zacate se convirtió a amarillo.
The corn that had grown,
el elote que había crecido,
dried up.
Se secó.
Dead.
Muerto.
Yellow everywhere.
Amarillo donde veas.
And that's a horrible sight. It's depressing. Don't you like to see plants growing? Because there's life. But when it's dead, it's depressing. So you can imagine what it's going to be like living during this time. When the sun is scorching the earth. Can only imagine the problem of skin cancers during that time. It's going to be awful. And yet the people will not repent of their evil deeds. They will instead point their finger at God.
Apuntarle a Dios.
They're going to say it's your fault.
Sí, es tu culpa.
Instead of saying, God, forgive me.
En vez de decir, Dios, perdóname,
it's because of our sinfulness that this is happening.
Es por nuestros pecados que esto está pasando.
They're going to say, it's your fault.
Van a decir, es tu culpa.
I hate you.
Te odio.
Blaspheme God.
Van a hacer muchos comentarios sobre Dios.
It's when a person accuses God wrongly.
Es cuando una persona acusa a Dios incorrectamente.
God told them it was going to happen.
Dios te dijo que iba a pasar.
They didn't have to go there.
Ellos no tenían que ir ahí.
They could have got it right way before.
Ellos pudieron haberlo agarrado bien desde mucho tiempo.
But they themselves chose to go this route.
Pero ellos mismos decidieron ir este camino.
God told them it was going to happen.
Dios dijo que iba a pasar.
And it's not God's fault.
No es la culpa de Dios.
It was their choice.
Fue su decisión.
Scorching heat.
Quemadura de sol.
The fifth seal introduces another one.
El quinto sello introduce otra.
We're going to read it on verses 10 and 11.
10 y 11.
It says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was filled with darkness. They gnawed their tongues because of the anguish, and they blaspheme God, or the God of heaven, because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds.
El quinto ángel derramó su copa sobre el trono de la bestia, y el reino de la bestia quedó sumido en la oscuridad. La gente se mordía la lengua del dolor, y por causa de su padecimiento y de sus llagas maldecían a Dios del cielo, pero no se arrepintieron de sus malas obras.
We don't know how this is going to happen.
No sabemos cómo va a pasar esto.
But this judgment,
pero este juicio,
affects the Antichrist and his kingdom.
Afecta al anticristo y su reino.
At this particular point in time,
en este punto particular,
the Antichrist will now have his headquarters in Jerusalem.
El anticristo va a tener su reino en Jerusalén.
From there, this judgment is going to affect his whole kingdom, so it's going to be affecting a lot of that area of the world.
De ahí, su juicio va a empezar y va a afectar mucha gente del mundo.
And so the scripture says that his kingdom is filled with darkness.
So la escritura dice que su reino está llena de oscuridad.
That means that there will be darkness in his domain, whatever it is.
So eso quiere decir que va a haber mucha oscuridad en su dominio.
But not everyone will be in darkness.
Pero no todos van a estar en oscuridad.
This darkness is going to be the darkness like the Egyptians felt during the time of Moses.
Esta oscuridad va a ser como la oscuridad que los egipcios pasaron durante sus tiempos.
It's going to be so dark that you're going to feel it.
Va a ser muy, muy oscuro que lo va a sentir.
And there are going to be stars in the sky for them to see.
No va a haber estrellas en el cielo que ellos puedan ver.
Probably no electricity for them to have night lights.
Me imagino que no electricidad para puedan prender sus lámparas.
It's going to be a darkness that will be felt.
Va a ser oscuridad que se puede sentir.
But along with it, there's going to be a judgment mixed within.
Pero junto con eso va a ser juicio que se puede mezclar con eso.
It doesn't say what it is.
No dice qué es.
But whatever it is going to bring them horrible pain.
Pero sea lo que sea, va a traer mucho, mucho dolor.
It says that they're even gnawing their tongues for pain.
Ahí dice que ellos mismos van a morder sus lenguas del dolor.
It's going to be so bad that they are going to again accuse God.
Va a ser muy, muy doloroso que nuevamente ellos van a juzgar a Dios.
And they're not going to repent of their deeds.
No se van a arrepentir de sus obras.
Remember Pharaoh in the book of Exodus.
¿Se acuerdan de Pharaoh en el libro de Exodus?
His heart was hard.
Su corazón estuvo duro.
He didn't let the people go.
Él no dejó su gente ir.
With every judgment of God on that land,
con todos los juicios de Dios en esa tierra,
his heart got harder and harder.
Su corazón se hizo duro y duro.
And that's the way these hearts will be.
Y eso va a ser como esto va a pasar.
We get harder and harder.
Duro, su corazón.
It's your fault, God.
Van a decir, es tu culpa a Dios.
But still God in his mercy
Dios en su misericordia
is waiting for some to say, I repent.
Va a esperar por su hijo que diga, me arrepiento.
He'll forgive them.
Él lo va a perdonar.
But there are some hearts that are so hardened
hay unos corazones que son muy duros
that they will not repent.
Que no se arrepentirán.
The sixth angel
El séptimo ángel
brings out another horrible judgment.
Trae otro muy, muy terrible, juicio.
And we find it here in verse 12 through, let's see, through 16. 12 through 16. And this is where the Euphrates River is dried up.
This is donde el río Euphrates, se seca.
It says this.
Así dice.
The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and its water was dried up to prepare way for the kings of the east. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs who go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And out of nowhere jumps out this verse. Jesus said, look, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments on, lest he walk naked and his shame be exposed. That just jumps out of nowhere. Read it in Spanish.
En el versículo, you want me to read the verse 15 or all of it?
Maybe read all of it, 12 to 15.
Okay. 10, right?
Yeah. Actually 12 to 15.
Okay. Leyendo el versículo 12 dice, el sexto ángel derramó su copa sobre el gran río Eufrates y se secaron sus aguas para abrir paso a los reyes del oriente. Y vi salir de la boca del dragón, de la boca de la bestia y de la boca de las ranas. Son espíritus de demonios que hacen señales milagrosas y que salen a reunir a todos los reyes del mundo entero para la batalla del gran día del Dios Todopoderoso. Y aquí dice que este versículo, Jesús, no sé de dónde habla, pero dice, cuidado, vengo como un ladrón, dichoso el que se mantenga despierto y con su ropa a la mano, no sea que ande desnudo y sufra vergüenza por su desnudez.
Read verse 16 as well, just to finish it off.
16 dice, entonces los espíritus del demonio reunieron a los reyes en el lugar que en hebreo se llamaba Armagedón.
I want you to think about something here.
Quiero que piense algo aquí.
When we look at the kings and the rulers of this world,
cuando pensamos de los reyes y los que obran en este mundo,
we must remember that there is more in action than their own words.
Tenemos que recordar que hay más en acción que sus propias palabras.
The nations of the world,
las naciones del mundo,
have more than just a male or a president leading these people.
Tienen más que una persona, un presidente que los está guiando.
There is a spirit behind it.
Hay un espíritu tras de ellos.
This world that we see,
este mundo que vemos,
is not all there is.
Es, no es todo lo que es.
There is a spirit world.
Es un mundo de espíritu.
Today,
hoy,
in these nations that we can't go into and preach the gospel,
en estas naciones que no podemos ir y predicar la palabra de Dios,
it's not just because their nation is overruled by Islam.
Es no nada más porque su nación está corrida por Islam.
Although it's true they're Muslims.
Y sí, hay cierto que hay Muslims ahí.
Behind that religion is a spirit.
Pero tras de esa religión hay un espíritu.
The scripture describes strong men.
La escritura describe hombre fuerte.
And these strong men are the rulers of the spirit world.
Y estos hombres fuertes son los que guían el espíritu de este mundo.
They try to stop the advancement of God's kingdom on the earth.
Ellos tratan de parar la escritura de Dios en este mundo.
That's why God's people need to pray.
Por eso la gente de Dios necesita orar.
We don't walk by sight.
No caminamos por mirar.
We walk by faith.
Caminamos por fe.
We don't judge by the outward appearance.
Juzgamos por la, nuestros ojos.
We must see beyond the natural into the spirit.
Pero tenemos que ver sobre lo que es el espíritu.
I mentioned the other day here in this church.
Yo mencioné el otro día en esta iglesia.
And we see here in the San Luis Valley the epidemic of drugs and alcohol like we do.
Lo vemos aquí en este valle, la epidemia de drogas.
Even some of the poverty that we see here in the San Luis Valley.
Hasta un poco de la pobreza que vemos en este valle.
It's more than just lack of education.
Es más que más falta de educación.
There is a spirit, a strong man here in the valley.
Hay un espíritu, un hombre fuerte en este valle.
That we must pray against.
Que tenemos que orar contra él.
We need to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom here in the San Luis Valley. Behind those drug lords is a spirit.
Detrás de esos dioses de drogas hay un espíritu.
Strong man.
Hombre fuerte.
Demonic spirits.
Demonio.
And during the tribulation period, it's going to be demonic power.
Y durante la tribulación va a ser demonios espirituales, poder de demonios espirituales.
That's going to make the Antichrist so powerful.
Que va a dar el anticristo mucho poder.
The false prophet so powerful.
El falso profeta muy mucho poder.
It says that at this particular judgment.
Dice que este juicio especial.
The Euphrates River is going to be dried up.
El río Euphrates va a ser seco.
And it's to make way for the kings of the east to come into battle.
Y es lo que va a ser el camino para los reyes del oriente para que vengan a hacer guerra.
And it says the dragon, the false prophet, and the Antichrist are going to vomit out these beings.
Dice que el dragón, el falso profeta, van a vomitar estos demonios.
They look like frogs.
Que parecen ranas.
Will we see them?
¿Vamos a ver?
No.
No.
But these spirits are animating.
Pero estos espíritus están animando. Es como una animación.
They're animating the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all that's going on during that time. There's a spirit behind it all. These ones happen to look like frogs. When they come out of the Antichrist and false prophet, they will enter into all the kings of the earth at that time.
Van a entrar sobre todos los reyes de las naciones.
And through the convincing power of the Antichrist.
Y sobre el poder que tiene el demonio de convencer.
He will convince these leaders of the world to gather together for the battle of Armageddon.
Ellos van a convencer a todos los líderes de este mundo a juntarse a luchar contra el Armageddon.
Armageddon is a valley that is located there in the land of Israel.
Armageddon es una tierra que está ahí localizada junto a Israel.
It's a large piece of land, but it's nice and flat, almost like the valley.
Es un pedazo de tierra muy chico, pero está flat.
Yeah.
Ahí en Israel.
And this is where these leaders of the world will gather together to fight this battle of Armageddon. It's not a battle against each other. It's ultimately to stop Jesus from coming back. Isn't it interesting that they know Jesus is going to come back? And they're going to try to stop him? It just shows how deceived they are.
Entonces eso enseña que tan
engañados
ellos están.
How can they fight against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
¿Cómo pueden ellos pelear contra el Rey de Reyes y Señor de Señores?
They can't.
No pueden.
But there is a lie of Satan in their hearts.
Pero hay una mentira de Dios en sus corazones.
That somehow has convinced them they can stop Jesus from coming back.
De una forma u otra ellos los convencieron de que pueden parar a Jesucristo de su llegada.
But Jesus will come.
Pero Jesucristo vendrá.
And with the spirit of his mouth.
Y con la espada de su boca.
He's going to destroy the Antichrist and his kingdom.
Va a destruir al Anticristo y su reino.
No nuclear bomb can stop Jesus.
No bomba nuclear va a parar a Jesucristo.
No unified forces of the beast can stop him.
No agregamiento de bestias de demonios lo van a parar.
He is going to come here to rule.
Jesucristo va a venir aquí para reinar.
As King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Dios de dioses y Señor de señores.
And he will set up here on this earth.
Y él vendrá y se pondrá aquí en esta tierra.
His millennial kingdom.
Como el rey de milenios.
Where he will rule for 1,000 years.
Donde él reinará por mil años.
Of beautiful peace.
De mucha, mucha belleza y paz.
Oh, man. I can't believe, I mean, it's going to be wonderful.
Va a ser maravilloso.
No more war.
No more guerras.
No more tears.
No more llanto. No more llanto.
There's going to be no more sickness.
No más enfermedades.
No more pain.
No más dolor.
Beautiful.
Hermoso.
And it's going to happen.
Y va a pasar.
Yes.
Satan can't stop it.
Satanás no puede pararlo.
Satan knows his end.
Satanás sabe su fin.
One preacher said it this way.
Un pastor dijo de este modo.
The Christian has no past.
El cristiano no tiene pasado.
And we need to remind the devil of his future.
Y necesitamos recordarle al diablo de su futuro.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus has washed all our sins away.
Jesucristo ha lavado todos nuestros pecados.
And so we don't have to worry about the past anymore.
No tenemos que preocuparnos de nuestro pasado.
And we need to remind the devil of his future. Amen.
Recordarle al demonio de su futuro.
The seventh vial.
El séptimo plaga.
Is going to bring another destruction. It's going to bring destruction to Babylon.
Va a traer destrucción a Babilonia.
But it's also going to bring in great hail.
Pero también va a traer mucho granizo.
Not golf ball size.
No el tamaño de una pelota de golf.
You'll see here in a moment how bad these ones are going to be.
Usted va a ver ahorita en un momento qué tan grande y mal va a ser esto.
Verses 17 through 21.
Versículo 17 a 21.
Reads like this. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightning and a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has never occurred since men were on the earth. And we've heard of some horrible ones, huh? The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Great hail, about the weight of 100 pounds, fell from heaven upon man. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because that plague was so severe. A lot of you have worked in the warehouses, right? Have you remember picking up those 100-pound bags of potatoes? You ever pick those things up? Heavy.
Pesados.
If you work with them for a while, you start getting muscles. And they become lighter because you're stronger. But it's still 100 pounds. Sometimes they give us a box of 50 pounds of potatoes. And for me, it's heavy. I wouldn't be able to do 100 pounds. I might. But I'd have to work out beforehand. I'm not as strong as I used to be. Not that I'm weak. But I know that that's going to be heavy. Can you imagine hailstones coming down the weight of 100 pounds? Sometimes the car lots in Denver or in Colorado Springs, they'll sell you a new car. They'll sell you a new car at a lower price because it's got hail damage. Those hailstones, what, about that big? More or less. Leaves dents on the cars. Can you imagine if those 100-pound hailstones started falling right now? Do you think our little roof would protect those hailstones? Can you imagine the destruction that will occur with this one judgment? The people are upset because this is so bad. And I can only imagine. I am grateful that as a child of God, I don't need to fear this. Jesus is coming to take me home. We are going to be taken in the rapture. That's one of the blessings of being a child of God now. You and I, as children of God, are going to be taken out of this world. And we're going to be spared the judgments that are coming. Praise the Lord. Thank God. All of these judgments will be taking place towards the tail end of the tribulation period. Not in the beginning, but at the end. And so, if we look at it in order, first will come the seven seals. Then will come the seven trumpets. And then will finally come the seven vials of His wrath. And Jesus promised you and me that we will not taste His wrath. Turn there real fast. I want us to see it with our two eyes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5:9. This is a promise we should have memorized.
5:9. Esa es una promesa que tenemos que memorizarnos.
It says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath."
Dice, pues Dios no nos destinó a sufrir del castigo, sino a recibir la salvación.
But to obtain salvation, as was said there in the Spanish. It's not only talking about our salvation in Christ, but it's also talking about our deliverance from the wrath to come. He saved us from the wrath to come. Turn to chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians. Another scripture we should have memorized. And look at how this one says it. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10.
Dice, y esperar del cielo a Jesús, su hijo a quien resucitó, que nos librará del castigo venidero.
It's coming.
Va a venir.
He's delivered us from something that will come.
Nos está liberando de algo que va a venir.
More evidence.
Más evidencia.
For a pre-tribulation rapture.
De una una raptura de la tribulación.
Yeah.
Sí.
We will not go through the tribulation.
Sí, no vamos a pasar por eso, la tribulación.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can I show you one more verse? Turn to the book of Luke 24. 21. Luke 21. And let's read verse 36.
Lucas 21, versículo 36.
It says this. Therefore watch always and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man.
Yeah. Estén siempre vigilantes y oren para que puedan escapar todo lo que está por suceder y presentarse delante del Hijo del Hombre.
This scripture shows that we can escape it.
Esta escritura enseña que podemos escaparlo.
That we don't have to go through it.
Que no tenemos que pasar por eso.
But we've got to be watchful.
Pero tenemos que estar guardia.
Awake.
Despiertos.
Not asleep.
No como dormidos.
This world tries to get us to fall asleep.
Este mundo trata de engañarnos, de vendarnos.
To forget Jesus is coming back.
Para olvidarnos que Jesús va a venir.
But we as Christian people.
Pero nosotros como cristianos.
Need to be awake. Because he's coming back.
Yeah.
And if we will put our faith and our trust in him, he will give us an escape. There are some people that are not Americans that will say that the rapture is an American doctrine.
Es una doctrina americana.
They call us escape. It's an escape mentality.
Que es una mentalidad de escapatoria.
But it says it in the Bible.
Lo dice aquí en la Biblia.
It's not American.
No es americana.
It can be in Latin America.
Puede ser latinoamericana.
In Russia.
En Rusia.
In Europe.
Europa.
In China.
China.
The Bible says
la Biblia dice,
for us to pray that we can escape these things. The Bible said that we will be able to stand before the Son of Man. The Bible says that we will not taste the wrath of God. The Bible said he's delivered us from the wrath to come.
La Biblia dice que él nos ha liberado de eso.
It's not American.
No es una mentalidad americana.
It's Bible.
Es la Biblia.
Praise the Lord.
Alaben a Dios.
Praise the Lord.
Alaben a Dios.
There are people facing persecution today.
Hay gente que están pasando por persecuciones en estos días.
They're not able to have church on Sundays like we do here.
No tienen el privilegio de tener iglesia o cultos en los domingos como nosotros.
But that doesn't mean
pero eso no quiere decir
that we're any better than they are.
Que somos mejores de que ellos.
They're just living in an area.
Ellos nomás están viviendo en una área
where the gospel is not its foundation.
Donde la palabra de Dios no es la fundación.
Think about this.
Piense sobre esto.
Every nation where the gospel is the primary message.
Cada nación donde la palabra de Dios es la primera o tienen por primero fundación.
Every nation where God is revered.
Toda la nación donde Dios es revelado.
That is Christian.
Que es cristiana.
You will notice the prosperity of God in that nation.
Usted nota la prosperidad de Dios en esa nación.
You will notice the freedom that those people have in that nation.
Se fija la, la libertad que ellos tienen.
That's why America has the freedoms that it does.
Por eso, aquí en Estados Unidos está la, la liberación que tenemos.
It's not President Obama.
No es porque el presidente Obama.
Has nothing to do with him.
No tiene nada que ver con él.
This nation was founded upon Christian principles.
Esta nación fue fundada sobre principales cristianos.
In God we trust.
En Dios confiamos.
Sadly, this nation is trying to turn its back on those principles.
Tristemente, esta nación trata de voltear su espalda sobre sus principales.
But it still has that foundation.
Pero todavía tenemos esa fundación.
But other nations where communism reigns.
Pero en otras naciones donde la
comunismo
sobresale.
In those nations, Christians just aren't as free to worship.
En esas naciones los cristianos no tienen el privilegio de alabar.
In those nations where Islam is the religion of the land.
En esas naciones donde Islam es la, la religión.
Christians are afraid.
Cristianos tienen miedo.
They're persecuted.
Son perseguidos.
And so they're living in a land that doesn't have God as the first place.
So están viviendo en una tierra donde no, esa nación no tiene a Dios como su primer.
And that's why they are persecuted the way that they are.
Por eso mismo ellos han sido perseguidos de la forma que han sido perseguidos.
That's why you and me as Christians here in America need to count our blessings. We got to name them one by one. Praise the Lord. We can worship God here in America freely. We need to pray for America. What we see happening in the news right now with all this stuff going on in the streets or shooting police officers.
Lo que estamos viendo en las noticias ahorita en estos momentos sobre lo que está pasando del tiroteo de sobre los policías.
This is wickedness happening on in our nation.
Esto es wickedness.
Think about it.
Piensen.
God has ordained the police officers to keep order and justice in our land.
Dios ha dado privilegio a los policías de tener la seguridad de mantener las leyes en nuestras ciudades.
We should not hate the policemen.
No tenemos que odiar a los policías.
The Bible says they are a fear to us.
La Biblia dice que ellos.
They make us afraid.
Nos hacen miedo. Nos hacen tener miedo sobre ellos.
When we are in the wrong.
Nosotros estamos en el mal.
If we're not doing anything wrong.
Si no, no estamos haciendo nada mal.
Why are we afraid of them?
¿Por qué les tenemos miedo?
But when we're doing wrong.
Pero cuando estamos haciendo algo mal,
we better fear God's established authority.
Más vale tener miedo sobre la autoridad.
When we go out there like they are trying to do now,
cuando nosotros vamos a ir afuera y hacemos lo que ellos están haciendo ahora,
and say we want them dead now, talking about police,
y dicen los queremos muertos ahora, como hablando de la policía,
we are trifling with God's established order.
Estamos contra la palabra de Dios de establecer orden. Orden.
And those that are inciting this kind of rage,
y ellos que están empezando este tipo de
are wrong.
Están mal.
It's sin.
Es pecado.
They need to respect those in authority.
Necesitan respetar a esos con autoridad.
Are all people in authority perfect?
¿Son todos los que tienen autoridad perfectos?
No.
No.
There's a few bad apples.
Hay unas cuantas malas manzanas.
In every bunch.
En cualquier montón.
There are bad apples as church leaders.
Hay malas manzanas como líderes de iglesia.
Does that mean all of them are bad?
¿Eso quiere decir que todas las iglesias están mal?
No. Do we lump them all together and say we've got to kill them all? No. We need to respect them. We need to respect our leaders, no matter where they are and where, what kind of authority they are. We need to respect our president. We need to respect our teachers. We need to respect our policemen. Those in the military. We got to give honor to whom honor is due. Not despise them. And what's going on today is wickedness. Horrible. Sad. Some of these people claim to be Christian. And they're bringing racism. It's sad. God loves us all the same. Praise the Lord. However, this is a sign of the times. The scripture says that nation will rise against nation. The Greek word there for nation is ethnos. Ethnos. I guess that's the way to say it. Ethnic group against ethnic group. And this is one of the realities of what is kind of happening. We begin to look down on particular races or color. Should racism exist in the church? No! God forbid! We are all equal in the sight of God. But is it going to be in the last days? Outside the church. We're seeing it happening now. Be careful. When you're watching these news people. And you're seeing all this happening, that you don't begin to try to take sides. It isn't that black lives matter, because they do. But the true saying should be all lives matter. Okay, Brother Jaime, a hard time this morning. Sorry about that. It's tough. All lives matter. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white.
Rojo, blanco, negros, amarillos.
They're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. No favoritism. No racism.
No racismo.
No, never.
Nunca.
We've got to guard our hearts. And don't let those stuff begin to influence you in the wrong way. Is it right for an innocent person to get shot? No. But we've got to remember this happens all the way around. We don't emphasize just a few little happenings.
acontecimientos,
and say that's how it's always happening.
Y decir eso es como siempre ha pasado.
It's not true.
Porque no es cierto.
The media,
las noticias,
is very influential.
Es muy, muy influencial.
And we must be careful and pray, God, give me discernment.
Y tenemos que orar y pedirle a Dios que nos dé guiamiento.
Amen. We'll stop there. That clock is overtime now. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help your word to find fertile ground in our hearts today. I pray that, Lord, we would understand that, Lord, the horrible events of the tribulation period are going to be horrible. There's no doubt about it. You've already said so. And so I do pray, Lord, for any hearts that would be hardened now, that they would soften their hearts and that they would give you first place in their lives now before all these events begin to transpire. I pray for the church, Lord, that you'd help us to be wise and discerning in these last days. Help us not to be influenced, Lord God, by the rhetoric that is being circulated all around us through the news and everything else. Horrible things are happening. Help us to remember that this is not our world, that we are pilgrims passing through. And so I pray that you'd help us to walk that straight and narrow. And I pray that, Lord, in the end, we would be lights shining in the darkness. Lord, truly speak to us, speak through us, and help us to be a true people in these last days. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Go around and greet one another.